Okay, let's start our discussion tonight of a topic that is timely for the end of Sefer Bereishis that we are finishing, but also came up in the daf last week in the beginning of the third parak of Maseches Yuma, where the Gemara discusses the Avos keeping the Torah before Maimed Har Sinai. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Yuma, daf Chaf Chesem Abeis, Amar Rav, Kiyem Avram Avinu Kala Torah Kula, Avram Avinu kept the entire Torah. The entire Torah was kept by Avram Avinu. And the Gemara continues in the name of Rav Ashi, Kiyem Avram Avinu Afilu Eruvei Tavshilin. Even Erev Tavshilin was kept by Avraham. You know, every little, even the mitzvah derabbanon of Erev Tavshilin. They kept the entire Torah, as it says, Torosai Achas Torah Shebechsav, V'Achas Torah Shebalpet. The entire Torah was kept by Avram Avinu. The question is, what exactly does that mean? And there are many questions that are related to this. We're going to focus on two or three of them. A lot of more food for thought than a structured shiur, but a lot of ideas, hopefully, that we'll get to talk about over the next couple of moments. And we'll deal really with three questions, then I'll just throw one out at the end, and I'll give you some armakomas for it. But other than that, first question is that we know this is a principle of Kiyum Avos Kala Torah Kula. We have this Gemara in Yuma, we have the Mishnah at the end of a Kiddushin discusses it, and we have Chazals all over the Torah that tell us that the Avos kept the entire Torah. We had a Daf B'Iyun Shiur about this about 3 years ago, but this is going to be the whole second half of this year is different. The beginning has a little bit of comparison. So if anyone had listened to the last one recently, you know, hopefully there is some Ein Beis Medrash below Chiddush. We'll have some new ideas here as well. So the first couple of sources you have a number of chazals that assume that they kept the Torah. Vayimar Avram Oel of Sarah, as we know, Avram, when the Malachim came, he quickly went to the tent and he told her, Ma'arish Shalosim Kemach Solas, Lushi Vasi Ugos, quickly make Ugos. What are Ugos? The Torah, the Torah Shlema, the Medrash says, oh, it was Nisan, it was Pesach, making matzahs. You know, these Arabs are going to want to eat matzahs. No, but it's point you can't even make chametz for Arabs. You can't make chametz for non-Jews. You have to eat matzah. So he was making matzahs. That's ugos. Ugos matzos, as this is later in the Torah. The couple of parshiyos later, by the brachas, Yaakov and Esav. Lechna latzon, what does Rivka tell Yaakov? Go to the tzon and bring me two shnei gedaye izim tovim ve'ese usam matamim la'avicha kasher ahev. And I'll make matamim for your father, like I know he loves. What do you mean, two goats? That's a lot of meat. Well, Yitzchak needed two, not just one. One wasn't enough. So Rashi quotes, one was connected to the Karban Pesach. And what was connected to the Karban Chagiga? Right, he had to have two because it was Pesach. Okay, so all of these meetings are happening on Pesach. And of course, the famous Chazal, the beginning of Vayishlach, where Yaakov Avinu comes back on his way to Esav and says, Imlav Angarti, and Chazal Darshin, Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti. He kept Taryag Mitzvahs. So we see throughout Chazal have this element of the Avos keeping the Torah before the Torah was even given. The question is, that we're going to deal with in part one of this year, is, so what about the quote-unquote violations? If they kept the entire Torah, ask the Rishonim, so what about the violations? What about, obviously, the most famous violation, the marriage of two sisters? Right? How could Yaakov Avinu marry two sisters? How is it possible? How can Moshe Rabbeinu's parents be an illicit relationship, an aunt and a nephew, Amram and Yocheved? And there are others. So that's the main question that we're going to deal with. How is it that this occurred? Whatever answer we give, we have to realize is an answer, but there is, I think we've quoted this in the past, the Gemara, towards the end of Psachim, where the Gemara discusses, or assumes, and takes a little stand on this topic. It's a fascinating Gemara. Psachim Kuf Yates Mabez. I didn't give it to you, but you can look it up. Kuf Yates Mabez, the Gemara there is discussing in the Suda Lasilava. Mashiach's going to come. We're going to have a great Suda. And at the dais is going to be all the great biblical personalities. And the question is going to be, it's going to be time for benching. Who's going to bench? Who's going to bench at that Suda? So, the Gabbai is going to go around asking each person to bench. So first, they're going to give Avram Avinu, first Jew, you get it, please. They're going to give him the kosher bracha. Avram's like, I can't bench. I had a yishmael. I can't bench. It's like, okay. Next, Amar Lo Yitzchak, Tola Brech, please, Yitzchak, please take the kos and bench. Amar Lahen, Eidi Mevarech, Shiyati Veni Esav, sorry, I had an Esav. Okay, that didn't work. Next, Yaakov. Yaakov has the shift a cut. No problem. Yaakov, please bench. He says, Eini mevarech shenasasi shtei achios bechayehen. I married two sisters. She'asida Torah la'osran alai. That the Torah is going to answer them in the future. So I had my reasons for doing it, as we're going to go into in a few minutes. But later on, just that fact, objectively, now looking back at history, after the Torah was given, I can't be the one to bench. So that Gemara just relates to our Shir, Derech Agav. Just once we have the Gemara open, though, so who benched in the end? I'm like, Moshe, please bench! Moshe says, I can't, I never went into Eretz Yisrael. Lo zachisi likanes la'Eretz Yisrael, lo b'chayai, v'lo b'mosi. Right, so one of the makaras for Kfur in Eretz Yisrael. I didn't even get in after I died, says Moshe. Unlike Yosef and the Shvatim who got in. Amar lo Yeshua, please bench. Eini mevarech. No, I never had a son. Never had a son. Look in Divrei Yamim. It ends. Yeshua ben Nun. That's it. Never had a son. David, bench. David says, okay, I'll bench, says David. Ani avarech velina el avarech. Shenemar, kos Yeshua sasa uvishem Hashem ekra. I will lift up the kos, which is also an amazing line. David HaMelech didn't have a perfect life either. Right? He is the model of tshuva. But David HaMelech. But that's the Gemara Psachim, Kuf Yitesim Abeis, all the way at the end of Arvei Psachim, which discusses this idea of Yaakov Avinu marrying two sisters. So we're back to our questions. How did he do it? If all the others kept Kol HaTorah Kula, so how is it that there were some violations? So four ideas. One little short one, and then three other approaches. Number one, the Rama writes in a Tshuva in Simin Yud, source number 9, maybe, this does not explain all the Chazals, but some of them, maybe it was only Avram Avinu that was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. That's the emphasis of the Gemara that we have here in Yuma Chavches. Avram Avinu was Mekayim. He was the first Jew. He laid down the law, and he gave over most of the mitzvahs to his children, maybe not all of them, but they weren't bound by the same acceptance as Avram Avinu. So maybe it was just Avram. It obviously doesn't explain Tayyig Mitzvah Shamarti. Doesn't explain the other Mekoros that we saw up. But that's one idea, that maybe Avram Avinu was unique. Idea number two, though. Idea number two is a major thought by the Ramban, where he alludes to this, and he bases it on a couple of his points throughout his commentary on the Torah. Ask the Ramban this question in source 11, V'yeshlish O. Im Kain, Eich Hekim Yaakov Matzeva. If it's true that the Avos kept the Torah, how could Yaakov build a Matzeva, which was later answered in Parshas Shoftim? V'losachim l'cha Matzeva, asher sani Hashem olkecha. V'nasa shtei achios, uchadasar basinu arba. The Medrash even says, and Rashi quotes this also, Bila and Zilpah were half-sisters. They were all four sisters, not just two sisters. So how did Yaakov marry all of them? V'amram naso dodasu and Amram married his aunt, Yocheved. Right, Yocheved was the daughter of Levi. Amram was the son of Kahas, who was the son of Levi. So he was a nephew. V'amram naso dodaso. V'yomoshe Rabbeinu. Hekim shtei masrei matzeva. V'heich efsha shiyunogin heter batorah. V'masha asar. Avram aviyam al atzmo. V'kabal Hashem schar al adavar. V'yitzav es banav of beso v'chulu. So how did he do this? So says the Ramban in one of his landmark statements, line 9. V'hanirei lai midas arboseinu, what appears to me, shalaman Avram Avinu atorah kula baruch hakodesh, v'asak ba uvetamei mitzvoseh v'sodoseh, Avram Avinu did it, and he was b'kayin the Torah, and he learned the Torah, v'shamar osak kula k'mi she'ena mitzuba v'yoseh. And he was an ena mitzuba, he did it voluntarily. Here's the line, v'shmirato ota haya ba'aretz bilvad, only in Eretz Yisrael. The Avos kept Kol HaTorah Kula, says the Ramban, in Eretz Yisrael. Again, this does not explain that Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti, because that was Dafka, Bebeis Lavan. He kept the entire mitzvahs. But other than that, a lot of the Avrahams and the other Chazals, it was only in Eretz Yisrael. The Yaakov, and that's why, Bechutz La'aretz Natsa Achios. He married the two sisters of Chutz La'aretz. And that's why the Ramban says, behind the scenes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to orchestrate it, that Rachel died on the way back. And even if they came into Eretz Yisrael, he was never with her after they came into Eretz Yisrael. And she had to die on the way back, besides the other reasons. V'chein Amram, and also Amram in Mitzrayim. Ki ha-mitzvos mishpat elokei ha-aretzein. Because the mitzvahs have a unique relationship with Eretz Yisrael. Af apishuhus harnu b'chovas aguf b'chol makom. Even though obviously we have to do the mitzvahs everywhere we are, but there's a special connection to Eretz Yisrael. This fits in with many comments of the Ramban throughout his commentary on Chumash. Maybe one of the more well-known ones is at the end of Achrimos in source number 12, where we pick it up in the middle. Beforehand, the Ramban had said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appoints a sar, a angel, so to speak, over every land, every country, and there's only one exception to the rule, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not put any type of, so to speak, indirect hashgacha force that will take care. Read the Ramban. V'ha'inyan. This is before the part that you have. Ki Hashem anechbad bara hakol. Hashem created all. V'sam koach ha-tachtonim bo'elyonim. And he put the koach of the tachtonim, humans, bo'elyonim, in the upper spheres. V'nosan al-kol amba ambar tosam l'go yehem. And he gave every country. He gave Italy and England and Australia and America and Canada. Every country has a kochav umazal yadua, kasha noda be'itz tagninus. Like it is known. It's known. Sar of Esav, right? We have the Sar of this and that one. Vizeu she'anemar, and that's the pasuk. Asher cholak Hashem alokecha osam l'kol ha'amim. Ki chilek l'kula mazalos b'shamayim u'gvohim aleihem alechei elyon, nisanam lios sarim aleihem. Except for one land. Continues the Ramban, Aval Eretz Yisrael emsaus hayishuv. Now you have it on the first line. Eretz Yisrael emsaus hayishuv. Hi nachlas Hashem yuchedes l'shmo. It's a special connection to God. Lo nasan aleihem in amalachim katzin shoter v'moshel banchiloso la'amo miyuchad. Eretz Yisrael direct hashkacha. There's no intermediaries. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is directly involved. And that is why the Ramban says there's a unique element of every mitzvah that we do. When we're in the palace of the king, where we're in direct contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hinei b'chutz la'aretz, he says on line 15. Af al bisha kol l'shem ha'nichbad, even though everything is l'shem shamayim, ein tara b'shlema. One can't be totally pure there, because you don't have that direct connection. Ba'avar ha-mishor sim ha-moshlim aleha v'ha'amim to'im acharei sarehem. La'avod gomosam. Says the Ramban, ultimate purity is only in Eretz Yisrael. That's why the Ramban moved here at the end of his life. That's why many Rishonim throughout the centuries and Achronim yearned to be here. Not all of them got here. Yehuda Levi, the Vilna Gaon, the Chafetz Chaim even said at the end of his life he tried, and he was going to, he never made it. But this is the Ramban. And then the Ramban even has in towards the end of the piece, turning over the page, he quotes the Sifri, which the Vilna Gaon can't even believe is a correct Sifri. He says it must be an incorrect Girsa, but we have it in the Ramban. And we have it in Rashi. We have the Sifri. Says the Ramban, line 8, Dominion Azeh Amru B'Sifri, Va'avartem Mehera. You will be, the pasuk we say in Shema every day, you shall be destroyed, you shall be going to Galus, Vavata Mehera, Afal Pisha Anima Gale Eschem in Aris L'chutz La'aretz, even though I am sending you into exile, Heyu Mitzuyanim B'mitzvahs. Keep doing mitzvos, even though you're going into Chutz La'aretz. Shekeshetach Zeru, Lo Yiyu Aleichem Chadashim. So when you come back, they won't be new. Unbelievable line by the Ramban. Right? Keep doing mitzvos. So, like, you stay in practice. Mashal Adon Shakasa Lishtov Shalchala Besavia, a woman who left her husband's house, the husband got mad. Amalash, he says to her, you know what, honey? Keep putting on makeup. So you're in practice when you come back. Keep putting on makeup. And that's what Yirmiyahu says. Sounds like from the Ramban. Again, it's an extreme formulation, a radical formulation. All mitzvos in Chutz La'aretz are not as perfect. Even mitzvahs that have nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael, even tefillin and tzitzes, all mitzvahs and matzah, everything says that's the sifri. And Rashi quotes it. Rashi, right, the next source. Af lachar shetiglu heyu mitzuyanim b'mitzvahs. That's how you read. That's the pshat of the psukim in Shema. Ravata mehera v'samta mitzvara ilal alvachem v'anavshachem. Take it with you. K'shatem losa yadeichem. Hanichu tefillin asu mezuzos. Keep wearing tefillin and putting on mezuzos so that it's not new. The Vilna Gaon cannot fathom that the Sifri would say such a thing. He says it's an editorial glitch. And really, it never said hanichu tefillin asu mezuzos. It was an abbreviation of hey, tof, ayin, mem, which meant hafrish trumos isur maestros. Trumas and Maisers, that's what you should keep doing. Very difficult to say that because the context of the psukim is tefillin and mezuzah. But he is so convinced. But either way, this is the Ramban, that every mitzvah has uniqueness in Eretz Yisrael, and that's why the Avos kept the Torah in the place which has the uniqueness for all mitzvahs, and that is in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein tells over the story that one time he picked up his Rebbe Rav Hutner from the airport, and he was driving him, and Rav Hutner told him he has to go put on tefillin and daven. He says, Rebbe, you davened on the plane. He says, no, that was Chutz La'aretz tefillin. Now I have to put on Eretz Yisrael tefillin. So even Lamaisa, passing like that Ramban. But either way, this is idea number two, that Ramah, maybe Avraham Avinu is unique. That's number one. Number two is the idea that only in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, number three. A third idea. And that is said by a number of the Achronim. We'll say it from the Nefesh HaChaim. More of a Kabbalistic idea. Says the Nefesh HaChaim, step number one. Let's say it outside first, and then we'll see his words inside to make it clear. Step number one. Every mitzvah that we do, and this is a favorite theme of the Nefesh HaChaim, everything that we do in our life has unbelievable cosmic effects and power in Shamayim. We can't imagine everything we do. We'll talk about this in the Parsha this week as well. But we can't fathom what every little Maisa Chesed, every little mitzvah, every little thing we do has unbelievable effects in Shamayim. We think it's not only the famous things, no, even the little act of Chesed that we do. I heard recently a quote from a great rabbi who said, God doesn't read the headlines, he reads the fine print. Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at the fine print, right? Every little thing that happens, every little Maisa Chesed, every little Kvishas Hayetzer, has unbelievable effects in Shamayim, number one. Number two, when somebody is acting in an Eina Mitzvah V'Yoseh way, if somebody is volunteering to do a mitzvah, there's greater flexibility in their fulfilling it. There's greater flexibility in their looking at the situation and maybe I shouldn't fulfill it or I can't fulfill it in a certain situation. Meaning, if there's this counter pressure, say a woman wants to go hear shofar. A woman wants to go hear shofar. She doesn't have to hear shofar. She's pturos. But let's say there's a father. She and her brothers. Rachman al-Aslan, let's say somebody's in the hospital. So the boys and the sons and the daughters are there. So who's going to take care of the father? So if the sons have to go hear shofar, the daughter stays there. It's not like even if the daughter wants to go daven, but there's counter pressure. Right, because she's an Eina Mitzvah V'Yoseh, she stays with the father doing Kibbutz of Aim, and the sons go, here, shofar. When there's a situation of Eina Mitzvah V'Yoseh, so then there's flexibility in the Kiyum HaMitzvah, whether it has to be done. Those are the first two steps. Number one, every mitzvah that we do has unbelievable effects in Shamayim. Step number two, when someone acts as an Eina Mitzvah V'Yoseh, as someone who is not obligated, they have greater flexibility in sometimes not doing the mitzvah. Step number three. We're going to get into the Nefesh HaChaim, but first I'll just say step number three. The Avos, Beruach Kudsham, saw that 95% of the time, the mitzvahs that they do will have these cosmic, unbelievable effects in Shamayim. And that's why they did it before they were even commanded. Because they realized the value of these actions. And it was good in the eyes of Hashem. And that's why they did it. But they also saw, Baruch Kudsham, that sometimes, not true, sometimes violating, so to speak, would achieve the desired result in Shamayim. And Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak and Yaakov saw, I have to marry these women in order to create the Shiftei Ka. I have to, right? Tamar said, I have to go through with this because I have to be with this family. I have to create Malchus Beis David. Tamar had that vision. So too said the Nefesh HaChaim, the Avos had that vision too. So 95% of the time they did the mitzvos as an Eina Mitzvah V'Yoseh, but they had greater flexibility when they saw that the effect would not be achieved unless they quote-unquote violated. And they were allowed to. Yes, maybe that's going to cause Yaakov benching in the future, because at that time the Torah will have already been given, and looking back he had to violate, but at his time, you know, he had to. Now let's see that. That's what the Nefesh HaChaim says, what we just said, and that's the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh also says the same idea in in this context. Let's just read it. It's in the Nefesh HaChaim also, but just to save time a little bit, let's just go read it in the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. In the end of line 5. Aval b'makom shehayu roim to'eles dvar hatzlacha bahem. If sometimes they saw Baruch Kacham that there was a Dvar Hatzlacha in Shemayim by violating Kamosha Tomar Yaakov, Kishehirgish Batzlachaso Binisue Shayachios. Right, and we're not asking now, well, if he would have married Rachel first, would he have ever married Leah? We're not getting into that now. Hashkacha had it that he married Leah first. Halim ayin may revacha nimshach mikima mitzvah. Hahu. Says the Arachayim, he turned a blind eye to the objective revach and effects from the mitzvah itself, because he saw there's a greater revach to be had by not fulfilling the mitzvah, because I have to create the shiftei ka. Kivan she'en lo onish and lo yikamena, kalosh lo nina Torah. After all, he's not commanded. He's not commanded, therefore he can violate, so to speak. Umagamim no masha, yosan up yadibur, and maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do it, so to speak. Either way, this is approach number 3, that they saw, Baruch Hashem, that this is, even though most mitzvahs achieved a certain result, they needed to violate. One other example where we find that where there is no tzivui, there's greater flexibility. There is a difficult pasuk to translate in the beginning of Parshas Toldos, where Rivka Imenu is walking around with twins in her stomach, and the pasuk describes by Yisrotzesu Abanim Bekirba. And the boys are, you know, making a ruckus inside, Vatomer, Imkain, the Chazal say, whenever she walked by a shul, whenever she walked by a church, whenever she walked by a Beis Avodah Zarah, I should say, Beis Avodah Zarah. So, and she says, Lama ze anochi? Why am I? Lama ze anochi? Difficult phrase to translate. What does that mean, Lama ze anochi? Where's God, some of Farshim say. Where's Anochi Hashem Elokecha? Lama ze anochi? Okay, that's a drush. But what does it mean, Lama ze anochi? Explains the Brisker Rav based on a Gemara in Brachas. Gemara in Brachas on Daf Yud. Remember the story, Chizkiyo HaMelech is sick in bed. He's deathly ill. Yishayo HaNavi was the Navi at the time. And neither of them wanted to lower themselves, so to speak, and go visit the other one. Yishayo says, let Chizkiyo come to me. He should come to me. I'm the Navi. And Chizkiyo's like, I'm sick, he can't come. But earlier, he didn't want to go. Either way, Chizkiyo gets sick, and finally Hashem says to Yishayo, go. Go tell him that he's going to die. You're going to die. So he says to Yishayo, Amar Leh, line 7, my kulei hai, I don't, what's going on? I'm a tzaddik. Chizkiyo was one of the great kings, the tzaddikim. He says, well, I don't understand. Why is this happening? Amar Leh, mishum delo asakta b'peri yivarivya. Because you were not Osek in Piri Yivarivya. He sees, well, we'll stop for a minute. He sees, he's not Osek. Omer Leh, why? Well, I'll give you a good reason why I wasn't Osek, why I didn't want to have children. Mishum dechazoi li Baruch HaKodesh, denafki minai banin delomalu. I saw Baruch HaKodesh, I'm going to have a terrible son. I'm going to have a son who's going to be one of the worst, who's going to bring up Avodah Zarah into the Beis HaMikdash. I see who my son is going to be. I'm not ready to have him. Amar Leh, says Yeshayahu, the biting words, Bahadi Kafshi Rachman Alamalach. Regarding the hidden things of God, you have no business. Right? What's behind Me'achare Apargod? That's not for human consumption. My Demifkedis, what you are commanded to do, Ibai L'cholam Evid, you have to do. Umay Denichi Kamekut Shabrichu Levin. And what Hashem wants to do after that, you do the best you can. And then the rest is up to God. So Chizkiyah is like, okay. Amar Leh, Ahashavli Bartach. Okay, how about I marry your daughter? You know, maybe this chuyos of the daughter of the Navi, you know, maybe we could, you know, change the gzera, so to speak. After the grama schusa didivi didach, v'nafki v'nei barim demalu. Amar Leh, yes, says Yishayo, k'far nigzer alecha gzera. It's too late. Amar Leh, says Chizkiyo, ben amotz, kalei nevu ascha v'tzeh. You shut your mouth right now, he says. Kalei nevu ascha. Never do you say, never do you give up hope. And here's the line, Afilu cherev chadem unachaz atzavar shel adam, even if you have a sword on somebody's neck, al yiman atzmo unarachamim. Don't stop asking for rachmanis. This is the Gemara. Says the Brisker Rav, let's go back to the Pasuk. Or, let me make a diak first of all, he says in the Gemara, what's Yishayo's lashon? Don't try to figure out the hidden things of God. What you are commanded to do, you must do. My mimifkedis ibay lechalamavid. Says the Griz. Rivka Imenu is walking around with these two children. She's in extreme pain. Not only that, maybe she sees an Esav coming out of her. And therefore, she says to herself, Im Kain, Lama ze Anochi, why am I? I'm not Mitzuvah Puruvu. It's not my mitzvah. If I have a tzivoy like Chizkiyah Melech, ein brera. So he has to have the children. That's it. The rest is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I'm not Mitzuvah. Women are not Mitzuvah in the mitzvah Puruvu. And therefore, it says the Griz, that's the deeper message of what Rivka is trying to say. Lama ze Anochi, I never have to do this. This is voluntary. And therefore, she cries out. Either way, this is another example of an, obviously, I mean, she was in pain. She went, Vatech Lidrosh Hashem. And she went to ask Hashem, and Shame tried to calm her down. It's going to be okay. Yaakov Avinu. Even though you have an Esav in you, you also have a Yaakov in you. Right? Which is not what Chizkiyahu would have been able to be appeased with. Okay, that's number three. Fourth and final pshat with this first section of the shir, which is the largest section of the shir, and that is the comment of the Maharal. Again, how did the Avos violate? Maybe it was only Avram Avinu, maybe it was only Neret Yisrael, maybe it was flexible because they were Enim and Suvav Yoseh, and finally the Maharal in the Gur Aryeh in source number 20 says, simple answer, straightforward, Aseis versus Los Aseis. Says the Maharal in Parshas Vayigash, the Avos kept. Again, it does not work for Tayig Mitzvah Shamarti, yeah. But they kept the Mitzvah Aseh. Almost all the examples that we have of their Kiyumim are Mitzvah Aseh. Los Aseis doesn't say that they did not violate Los Aseis. No. Says the Maharal, an Aseh is about doing something to get close to God directly. So they did that. But it doesn't make sense, says the Maharal, not to do something before I'm told not to do it. No, until I'm told not to do it, there's no problem with it. There's no Yiras Hashem there. It's only doing something which has an inherent value. That's what he says. Aseis versus Los Aseis in the middle column. Avo mitzvah Aseh, yesh la'asos ulekayim, ki zehu ritzono shel makom, yesh kibul schar al zeh. But Los Aseis do not get any basis until, you know, they are commanded. Right, the Ramban in Parshas Yisro says this is Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. Aseis are based on Avas Hashem. Yelos Aseis Yiras Hashem. I gave you the Ramban in the next piece, and that's why Aseis are docha. Actually, I didn't give it to you. No, not this time. That's why Aseis are docha Los Aseis because Avas Hashem is greater than Yiras Hashem. But either way, that's what the Avos Avram or Havai passed down to his children. So this is issue number one. If we assume the Avos kept Kol HaTorah Kula, so how do we find all of these? A number of violations, and we had a couple of answers to deal with that. Question one. Question two that we will deal with, and I gave you the next couple of pieces. I just gave you a summary of a couple of the answers from a couple of Sfarim that have collections of the answers, instead of giving all the Marmakomas, but they're all here, and you can look it up in the originals if one would want to do further research. They did all the mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah that they didn't do until they were commanded, and that was Bris Milah. And that's the question that already bothers the Rishonim and the Machronim even more so. Why did Avram Avinu wait to do Bris Milah until after he was commanded? He did every other mitzvah right away. Ad Shelo Nitna, right when he recognized God. But when it comes to Bris Milah, Avram Avinu waited until he was commanded, and then he did the mitzvah. The question is why? So, a couple of answers given. You have it here in the Sefer Tiva Parsha, which is a collection of various answers. A couple of answers are given by, I think, five or six of them. He quotes, we'll go through a few of them. Number one, he quotes from the Mizrahi, the Re'eim, who says, well, we know the Gemara in Kiddushin and elsewhere. Gadol ha-mitzuvah v'yoseh, mi she'ena mitzuvah v'yoseh. It's greater if I'm commanded to do a mitzvah than, and I fulfill it, rather than not. Even though there's a svar to say the other way. Right, you might say this part, and Rav Yosef even thought the other way at first, the Gemara says. Rav Yosef thought Rav Yosef was, you know, was in a state possibly of Ptur. Rav Yosef was blind, and he always did the mitzvahs anyway. So when he first heard that blind people, according to one opinion, were Pturas for mitzvahs, he was very excited. Why? Because I'm Ptur and I'm still doing the mitzvah. This is unbelievable. Somebody gets up a davening when they don't, you know, when they're outside of the normal, schedule. Oh, that's great. Every day when you have to. right? If you go to work, you get you get overtime when you go in on a Sunday in Chutz Laretz, right? You get overtime. Why? Oh, wow! You don't have to when you came in Monday. You're not gonna. You have to come in. So it's great. But the Chazal say just the opposite. Gadol haMitzvah v'Yosef v'Mishein haMitzvah v'Yosef. Why? Bali Tosfos give different suggestions. One of them that they write in a number of places is that you have a greater Yetzahara on that day. It's easy to get up to catch an early flight to go on vacation. It's harder to get up every morning to go to the daf before davening. Why? Because Gadol haMitzvah v'Yosef, you have a greater Yetzahara. It's every day. I have to do it. Gadol haMitzvah v'Yosef. So says the Mizrahi, Avram Avinu knew that principle. And every other mitzvah in the book, he could do before he's commanded, and then he'll do it again after he's commanded. Bris Milah, he can only do once. If he does Bris Milah now, before he's commanded, he will never be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Bris Milah as a mitzvah v'yoseh. And that is why he waited by that dafka, that mitzvah. Number one, the Mizrahi. Number two, the another answer given, okay, we're not going to go through all of these, the turning over the page for a minute, he quotes us from the Pardes Yosef, Pardes Yosef, one of the Achronim, says that, well, Bris Milah itself, the act without a mitzvah, is an isser of chavala. You're not allowed to wound yourself. It's an isser to wound somebody else, it's an isser to wound myself. So without a mitzvah, I'm not allowed to volunteer because I'm doing an aveira. The isser of chavala. This is not assuming like the Maharal we just mentioned. They're assuming that it's Los Ases too. So says the Pardes Yosef, that's why. He had to wait for the mitzvah, which is then Docha, the Isser of Chavala. The Briskarav he quotes, but this is also the Meshech Chachma as well. He quotes it from the Griz, but the Meshech Chachma says, there was no mitzvah beforehand. What does that mean? All other mitzvahs you can volunteer and do even before they were commanded. But by definition, the mitzvah of Bris Milah did not exist yet. What does that mean, it did not exist yet? The mitzvah of Bris Milah is a function of the fact that the boy, the person, is an RL. The person has the status of an RL. Before the status of an RL kicks in, it's just cutting off a piece of skin. When does the status of RL come in? Says the Briskarav, says the Meshech Chachma, only after there's a mitzvah of Milah. If there's a mitzvah of Milah, so then Hashem says, do Bris Milah, that creates the shame RL. Once there is a shame RL, so then Memelah, there's a mitzvah. So Avraham Avinu couldn't have done it beforehand. He couldn't have done it beforehand because there was no shame RL. He wasn't commanded, so there was no mitzvah Bris Milah. Says the Meshech Chachma, not the Briskarav, and it's even Meduik in the Psukim. Because if you look in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Gimel, in Lech Lecha, the Pasuk says, Vayipol Avram upon him. Avram falls on his face. Right after he gets the Tzivli. Ask the Meshech Chachma, Avram spoke to Hashem a number of times before this. All of a sudden now he falls on his face. Oh, I can't deal with it. This is right after the Tzivli of Bris Milah. Says the Meshech Chachma, before this he wasn't an RL. But now he's talking to God as an RL. That's Rashi. But he asked the Meshech Chachma. But he spoke to God beforehand also. He says, no. But beforehand he wasn't an RL. And that's why this applies. There's even a Shita in the Rishonim. We don't paskin this way. But there's a Shita in the Rishonim that fits in beautifully to this as well. There's a Machlok, as we mentioned it many times in the Daf. And that is, when we say an RL, for example, there's a Perek in Yevamos, Perek Ha-RL. An RL Kohen cannot eat Truma. In RL, Kohen cannot do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Right, RL, we have RL. So what is RL? What is the definition of an RL in all those contexts? So Rashi says, all over, Mesu Echav Machmas Milah. And that's what Rov Rishonim say. If somebody's an RL, if their older brothers, they have a hemophilia in the family, their older brothers died after Bris Milah, even just two, we're machmir to assume two is a chazaka by Pikuach Nefesh, so therefore this person cannot get Bris Milah. He can't. It's not his fault, but he can't get Bris Milah. He could do almost all mitzvahs. He counts for a minyan. He could do almost everything. He can't eat Karen Pesach. He can't do the Avodah. And he can't eat Truma. Okay, a couple of mitzvahs he can't do because he's an RL. Rabbeinu Tam, in few places, holds that that's not an RL. Somebody who can't get an RL, who can't get a Bris Milah, because he's anus, because Halacha says he can't get a Bris Milah, he's not an RL. The status of RL disappears. The second there is no longer a chi of Milah, then there's no status of RL anymore. All those cases of Arel, says the Rabbeinu Tam, that's Arel, somebody who refuses to get a bris milah. Somebody who's scared to get a bris milah. That's Arel in all those contexts. But if it's somebody who mamish halachically cannot get one, that's not called an Arel. So we don't paskin that way, but it is a shita that fits in beautifully to this idea that the status of Arel and the mitzvah milah go hand in hand. Okay. The final point to mention, final answer to mention, I think it was the fourth one that we're mentioning, is he quotes this from the Sri De'esh. This is from a tshuva in the Sri De'esh, where he says the mitzvah of milah is not just a run-of-the-mill mitzvah like lulav and shofar and the others. Milah is a covenant. Milah is a bris. A bris needs two parties. You can't make a contract. You can't make an agreement by yourself. You have to have somebody on the other side of the table, so to speak. So Avram Avinu couldn't do bris milah beforehand because he needed HaKadosh Baruch Hu being mitzaveh it as part of the bris. So it's a unique type of mitzvah, and therefore it was not done. That's the second discussion. So again, number one, how they violate. Number two, what about bris milah? Number three, I'll just mention, I'm not going to go into it, but I gave you two pages of a compilation of various, it's all charifus, of all the achronim get into the act here, trying to come up with creative answers here. That is, we just discussed, why didn't he do milah before he was commanded? So this question is, how did Avraham keep Shabbos if he wasn't Jewish yet? A non-Jew is not allowed to keep Shabbos. So how do you keep Shabbos? How do you keep Shabbos? That's a question of all the Achronim. Okay, they also can't learn Torah, but the answer to that is he can't learn Torah, but mitzvahs that are shayach to them, they can learn. So you can answer that. Well, he's going to have Torah, so it is already shayach to him. That one stuff doesn't bother the Achronim. But what bothers the Achronim is Shabbos. So they come up with all different permutations. Oh, they did chatzi shir. Oh, they wore tzitzis, which is only without an Erev. So for Jews where it's a mitzvah, so then it's not a masa. But for non-Jews, if there's no mitzvah of tzitzis, so it is a masa, right? Or the Mishnah Lamelech assumes that this is a raya, that the Avos were Jewish, which is a separate topic of a separate shir. They were not Jews that were commanded. They would call, right, the question in the Achronim, to put it in a sentence, were the Avos super B'nai Noach or mini Jews? What were they? They were B'nai Noach with a couple of extra mitzvahs, or they were mini or pre, mini Jews or pre-Jews, however you want to call it. Every formulation has a different connotation. But this is the first Mishnah Lamelech and the Parashas Drachim. You know, this is his discussion of 20 pages. What was the status of the Bnei Noach? I think we had a shiur about this a couple of years ago to check the archives. But either way, that's a third issue that's dealt with about Shabbos. The last point just to mention, just to end with one beautiful thought, and that is a fourth issue, and that is, why does the Gemara specifically say Erev Tavshilin? Erev Tavshilin, out of all the mitzvahs, Avos kept kol ha'tzara kula, even blank. Why Erev Tavshilin? The Tosfos Yeshanim says, I don't know. I don't know why they chose Erev Tavshilin. On the bottom, Chav Chesem Abeis, the Tosfos Yeshanim does not give an answer. Erev Tavshilin. But there are a couple of suggestions given, we'll mention two. The Gvuras Ari, the Shagas Aryeh, in his commentary on the Daf, says, Derech Agav. It's not really his issue, but Derech Agav, he says, Erev Tavshilin is based on another halachic principle. If there is an Isser Dar, what's Erev Tavshilin? I set aside food before Yontif, so I'm able to cook for Yontif on Shabbos. But, says the Gemara, if cooking from Yontif to Shabbos is an Isser Da'oraisa, then how does an Erev Tavshilin work, which is a mechanism Durabanan? Says the Gemara, you have to assume that it's only a prohibition Durabanan. Why? Why is it only a prohibition to Rabbanan? Cooking on Yontif to Shabbos from one Yom Kaddish to another Yom Kaddish, why is that only an Issur Rabbanan? Says the Gemara, Ho'il. What's Ho'il? Since guests might come at any moment, so I'm really, even though my Kavan is for the next day, guests might come theoretically, so that's why I'm allowed to, it gets it down to a Rabbanan, and then Erev Tavshilin makes it Mutter. Okay? Ho'il knocks out the Daraisa, Erev Tavshilin knocks out the Rabbanan. So says the Gvuras Ari, Erev Tavshilin is based on Ho'el, based on guests coming. That's Avram Avinu. That's what he's all about. He's about Achrasas Archim. So that's why Dafka Erev Tavshilin is mentioned, says the Gvuras Ari. One answer. And the other answer to mention is back to the Meshech Chachma. the Meshech Chachmin Vayishlach. On the Chazal, on the Pasuk, Perek Lamed Vey, this is not in your packets, but just giving to you separate. Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Vey's Lamed Gimel, says the Meshech Chachma, why does Ya'arab get Erev Tavshilin? But he throws in another part of the question. Yaakov, Chazal say, was Koveya Tchumin. Tchum Shabbos. It was Koveya Tchumin, based on the Pasuk of Vayichan as Pnei Ha'ir. Tchum. Why do those two? Says the Meshech Chachma, Yaakov was very different than the previous Avos, than Avram and Yitzchak. Avram and Yitzchak, as the Rambam describes, in the beginning of Hilchas Avodas Kochavim, their job was, so to speak, missionizing. Going out and spreading the word of God. Not missionizing to become Jewish, but at least missionizing to believe in God. And they went out and they had their religious parade and Nefesh Yisrael Asu Bechara, and that's what Avram did. And Yitzchak followed suit. Yitzchak followed, and almost his life was paralleled after Abraham. It was all about going out. Yaakov Avinu all of a sudden does just the opposite. Yaakov's life is all about insulation. It's all about guarding and protecting what we now have. I have the Shifteka. I need to have a Goshen. I need to be separate. I'm not going out. Yaakov did not go out and he spent 22 years learning in private. That was Yaakov Avinu from the inside. It says, that's these two Chazals. Avram Avinu, he went out. He was Megairis Agerim. And that's Erev Tavshilim. That's guests. That's having guests over Chulu. Yaakov Avinu was Kavatchumen. He made boundaries. He made borders. He saw he had the Shifteka. And now he has to protect. V'zemelitzasam Avram kiyem Erev Tavshilin lahaknis archim ulakabel geirim tachas kanfi yashchina avalokav atchumin. Yaakov wasn't kovei atchumin. I mean, Avram wasn't kovei atchumin. Shema yimana echad milavo l'shmo adeyosav. No, he wants everybody to... His doors were open. Lokein Yaakov kov atchumin lahagbil ulitchom bein am Yisrael wa'amim. V'lachein bimara adayin lo ifkad atchumin. B'shem shayin nosim b'machlok, as it continues. Only in Har Sinai, whereas Vayichan Shom Yisrael. But either way, that's two ideas why Erev Tavshilin, they're connected. Right? The verse I read just focuses on Hoel, and then the Meshech Chachma expands and contrasts Avraham with Yaakov. Okay, there's a lot more here, but there are a couple of ideas relating to the Avos keeping the Torah Ad Shelo Nitna, and our job is now to follow them after it's given. A topic that we totally didn't touch on, just to throw in, we've touched on in the past, and that is, the Avos did it without a tzivui. Does their fulfillment have any impact on our fulfilling it after now that we have a tzivui? The sugya known as Nitna Torah and Ischat Shehalacha. And there might be differences between the history of a mitzvah and the reason it's obligatory upon us. That's another topic, not for now, but either way it's important. Okay, we'll stop here. Baruch Hashem, we'll continue.